All right. Hello, everyone. We are here for 7 Steps to Awakening. I started to say prayer circle because I had just been thinking about prayer circle. But we are here for 7 Steps to Awakening. And tonight we are going to begin with quote 658, which is actually a fairly long quote. It's like a paragraph. And so you'll find that I contemplated it deeply and that there are actually several entries in my journal related to this. So I'm going to give a link in the room right now to 658A. There you are, 658A. And what I would like to do, as usual, is I'd like to play a song. The purpose of the song is really, again, just kind of an opportunity to be still, to go within, but we don't have dead air. We have music, because sometimes if we just do silence, people get concerned, of course, that they can't hear, that something's wrong. So the song that just jumped out at me is, it's actually, I think, a John Lennon song, but this is going to be sung by a woman named Sushila Raman. It's called Oh My Love. So let's listen to Oh My Love and Be Still Within. That will be our opening silence, and then we'll start looking at quote 658. So here we go. Lovely. So Welcome again to the Seven Steps to Awakening. And we are going to be looking at quote 658, which is from the Supreme Yoga. And as I mentioned, it's a long quote, so I might read it more than once. And if you like, you can, you know, just close your eyes and listen. Or if you happen to have the Seven Steps to Awakening, you know, you can follow along. Sometimes it's easier for me when I have something to read along with. Both seeing it and hearing it is very helpful to me. So here we go, quote 658. When the limited and conditioned feeling, I am so-and-so, ceases, there arises consciousness of the all-pervading infinite. Hence, you too abandon the false and fanciful notion of the ego sense within your own heart. When this ego sense is dispelled, the supreme light of self-knowledge will surely shine in your heart. The ego sense alone is the densest form of darkness. When it is dispelled, the inner light shines by itself. So let me read that. I think one more time will be good enough. I'm looking at 659. I love 659. But let's get through 658 first. Okay, here we go. When the limited and conditioned feeling, I am so-and-so, ceases, there arises consciousness of the all-pervading infinite. Hence, you too abandon the false and fanciful notion of the ego sense within your own heart. When this ego sense is dispelled, the supreme light of self-knowledge, of course this is true self-knowledge, will surely shine in your heart. This ego sense alone is the densest form of darkness. When it is dispelled, the inner light shines by itself. Oh, here, I can send you the link, Lynn. Pasting it in the room right now. Oops, looks like David beat me to it. All right. So I'm going to read from the journal then, 658A. I have noticed a dense feeling that I can observe. It is the feeling I am this person. Difficult to describe, it is not the body. Compared to the body, this sense would be called formless, and yet it is a dense sense. So it is a formless form. It seems to be more than a thought, but it is formed by ideas of identification. So it is thought. It is crystallized imagination. And I'm actually still very aware of this dense form. In fact, I notice this dense form frequently. And when I notice it, when I'm looking at it, I call it Regina. You know, in the third person. I don't call it me. I call it Regina. I say, there's Regina. I can feel Regina now. It isn't always there. For instance, when I'm teaching, it's never present. I never feel that dense sense of Regina when I'm teaching. One time when it does show up is if someone does something that Regina disapproves of, you know, I don't know what, but somebody does something and judgment happens. You know, when judgment happens, I can feel Regina. It's very, very dense. Buys expensive rocks. Well, you know, I can't say buys expensive rocks because someone else didn't do that. I did that. And I still have a pile of expensive rocks out here, and I still have no idea what I'm going to do with them. It's kind of funny. I'm sure at some point an idea will come. But right now, we used a few of them under the fence so that the snakes couldn't get in. But I bought a huge pile of expensive rocks, so we still have a lot. But, yeah, when there's something that is judged, you know, yeah, I would say it's that disapproving feeling really that brings that sense, that Regina sense, forward. And I don't really know how to describe the Regina sense. Like I said, it's not the body, because, you know, the body is present even when the teaching is happening, when that flow of clarity is there. And when that flow of clarity is just moving through, there's no sense of this Regina person. So I don't really know how to describe it, because it's not the body. I suppose we could call it, the best other word to put on it other than Regina sense would be the personality, but that's not even completely true, because even when I'm crystal clear and completely open and there's no judgment happening at all, and there's just a flow and an enjoyment, and there's no Regina sense in those moments, yet there's still personality. So it's not exactly the personality either. I noticed David said he notices, I'm assuming he means the David sense. and so he knows what I'm talking about. I do remember the first time I ever noticed it. It was always there, clearly, always there. But the first time I noticed it was a few years ago when we were doing the study with the scribe, the NTI study with the scribe here at my house, and we were studying the book of NTI Luke. And I don't remember where we were in NTI Luke, but we were contemplating something in NTI Luke, and it just popped. And by that I mean my ability to see this Regina sense and to become very, very aware of it. That's what popped, my ability to see it. When the Regina sense is present, I consider it as a sign that it's time for some softening and from stepping away from belief in the self. That's what, you know, when I suddenly notice, oh, this, I call it big, it always feels big, this big Regina sense when it's present, that's a strong sign to step away from whatever thinking is happening, or if speaking is happening, from whatever speaking is happening, just step away, step away, step away. I have no fear of the Regina sense. I have no judgment of the Regina sense. I just know that becoming fully Regina is not helpful to my purpose. And so when I feel that Regina sense, I step away. I step away. I don't know how else to say it. So let's look at 658A again. I have noticed a dense feeling that I can observe. It is the feeling I am this person. Difficult to describe, it is not the body. Compared to the body, this sense would be called formless. And yet it is a dense sense. So it is a formless form. It seems to be more than a thought, but it is formed by ideas of identification. So it is thought. It is crystallized imagination. And with that said, I'm going to move right on to 658B. But after sharing that with you and before moving on to 658B, I think it would be wonderful to read 658 again from the Seven Steps to Awakening. When the limited and conditioned feeling, I am so-and-so, ceases, there arises consciousness of the all-pervading infinite. Hence, you too abandon the false and fanciful notion of the ego sense within your own heart. When this ego sense is dispelled, the supreme light of true self-knowledge will surely shine in your heart. The ego sense alone is the densest form of darkness. When it is dispelled, the inner light shines by itself. So I'm going to look at 658B in the journal now. Imagination says this sense, I am this person, is dense and impenetrable. Yet that is imagination. Ideas of imagination are not true. My conscious awareness itself shines through this sense, I am this person. It seems to enliven the idea, I am this person, as it passes through. But if one looks carefully at what passes through, at what appears to enliven an idea, one will see reality is not blocked by an apparent dense form. Reality shines through. Reality is present. Reality is untouched. Reality is pure. There was a time when I didn't like Regina, I guess is an okay way to say it. I'll explain that better. And of course, I didn't think of it at all as Regina during that time. It was purely me. And I don't know that I ever would have told you that I didn't like me, because it wasn't that conscious. It wasn't conscious enough for me to tell you I don't like me, right? It would never be that conscious. But what it was that strong, strong, strong unworthiness, right? And many of you are familiar with what I'm talking about, because you have the strong sense of unworthiness too. And, you know, I've talked about this before, that I saw myself literally, and there's no exaggeration in what I'm saying, I saw myself literally as just the lowest, most unworthy person on the planet. That's how I saw myself. And I thought that everyone else had some talent or something going for them, and I alone was the one person with nothing going for me. I mean, if you can't call that I didn't like myself, I don't know what else to call it. You know, that's really what it was. I didn't like myself. And what happened, of course, as you know, is that I went through about 5 years of what I call purification, which was really releasing this idea and some other related ideas. But it was really releasing this idea so that I no longer believed it. And the good news is, when I no longer believed it, I not only no longer believed it about Regina, but I no longer believed it about anyone else. I mean, you can really try your best to convince me how unworthy you are. And trust me, people have tried to convince me how unworthy they were, and I don't believe it. I just don't see anyone that way anymore at all. So that's how I know that belief is dead. If I thought that I was okay now, but you were still unworthy, that would just mean that I was projecting the idea. But if I can see all of us without believing the unworthy idea, then it's died. So what that means is, I no longer dislike Regina. I like Regina. I like Regina. I like David. I like Lynn. I like Dove. I like Robbie. Well, I don't really know Robbie, but if I did, I'd like Robbie. I know Monica. I mean, I like Monica. You know, I like people. I like everybody. And I like everybody just as they are. Nobody has to change at all for me to like you. Sometimes I can see how it would be helpful if people changed in some way, because they would be happier within themselves, right? But I don't need them to change for me. I like it. I'm happy. I'm happy with you. I like you. I like me. So I can't say anymore that I don't like Regina. Even with that said, the moments, and it only lasts a moment when this happens. It's happened many times, but it only lasts a moment when it happens, because I don't hold on to the thought any longer than that. But in the moments when I have the thought that I will never transcend the belief that I am Regina, there's this sadness that comes over me. And remember, I like Regina now. I like Regina very much. There's nothing not to like. And that's true of everyone, not just Regina. But when those moments cross, when that thought crosses the mind that I will never transcend her, I feel sadness. And I feel sadness for one reason only. Maybe two. But let me share the first reason. I feel sadness because I have enough awareness, or at least enough faith, that that is not my truth. And I want to know my truth. And so the idea that I will not be able to transcend the belief I am Regina can momentarily make me sad. Now, I said momentarily because once the sadness is felt, then I realize I'm listening to a thought that needs to be let go. And so I immediately look at the thought differently and let it go. And so the sadness does not last. It doesn't turn into any kind of a depression or anything like that. They're very brief moments. And I said there was a second reason too. It flew into my mind when I was speaking and it's already flown out. So let me see if I can bring that back. I said that the only reason that I am sad, it's not coming back. If it comes back, I'll share it later. I should have made a note or something. It flew in and flew out very, very quickly, but there's another little reason there too. We'll see if it comes back. But the point is, let's look back at 658B. Imagination says this sense, I am this person, is dense and impenetrable. You see, that's what the ego, the imagination will say, and I'm sure that you all have probably felt this idea too, and if you haven't, you probably will at some time recognize the idea that I will never transcend the me thought. I will never transcend the belief that I'm this person. And maybe you'll also feel that little sadness, or maybe you'll feel frustration or something else. But what this quote or what this journal entry is saying is that is just imagination. If you heard my teaching this morning during the weekly gathering, we were talking about Ramana Maharshi and Ramana Maharshi's self-inquiry. And actually, the two questions we were looking at were not directly the question, who am I? They were other self-inquiry questions that he recommends. One of those questions was, where did this thought come from, right? Where did this thought come from? Looking for the source of the thought. And the other is, to whom does this thought arise? Looking at the observer of the thought. And when I was doing the teaching this morning, remember, the teaching was very, very consistent. No matter what thought arises, you must do the inquiry. So that means that if the thought arises, I will never be able to transcend this ego sense. I will never be able to transcend this sense that I am this person, that this is who I am. That's just a thought that needs to be immediately inquired into. To whom does this thought arise? Or where did that thought come from? Where did that thought come from? And looking towards the silence. So the thought should not be entertained. It is merely a doubt thought that is born out of imagination. It's not truth. Now David is asking, what do you mean I listen to the thought differently and then let it go? I think I probably just described what I meant, but I'll say it differently. So the thought may come in, that I will never transcend this Regina sense, this belief that I am Regina, and there'll be a moment of sadness. As you know, David, because you know me pretty well, I am happy. I am happy and joyous 99% of the time. Who knows? Something like that. And when a feeling arises that is not happiness and joy, which is when a feeling arises like sadness, that feeling is like an alarm clock to me. It basically says to me, you're listening to an untrue thought, right? That's what it basically says to me without those words. And so I immediately turn my attention to it. So first, when I felt the sadness, I was listening to it as if it was a true thought. I will never transcend the belief that I'm Regina. Then I feel the sadness and I realize, I'm listening to an untrue thought. See, that's looking at the thought differently. And once I realize I'm listening to an untrue thought, I just let it go, which means, in my case, forget about it. Turn my attention elsewhere. It wasn't important, right? So hopefully that answered your question. So going back to 658B, imagination says, and this is what's really important, it's imagination that's saying I am this person and that this sense is dense and impenetrable, right? Imagination says this sense, I am this person, is dense and impenetrable, right? Yet that is imagination, which means I don't have to believe it. I can just turn my attention away from it because it's not a true thought, right? In fact, the next paragraph says, ideas of imagination are not true. Now, this is an interesting thought. My conscious awareness itself shines through this sense, I am this person. It seems to enliven the idea, I am this person, as it passes through. But if one looks carefully at what passes through, at what appears to enliven an idea, one will see reality is not blocked by an apparent dense form. So let me see if I can help you to imagine this. Imagine a stained glass window. And the sun outside is shining through the stained glass window into the church. We'll be in a church. And the different colors of the stained glass window, you can just see the beams of those different colors, and they're kind of landing on the pew. You can see the pink, the green, the blue. The pink, the green, the blue that you're looking at that's shining on the pew, that is like the ego sense. It appears. Right? You can see the pink, you can see the green, you can see the blue on the pew. It appears. But what makes it appear? It's the light of the sun, right? If the light of the sun was not shining through the stained glass window, there would be no power at all to make the pink, the green, the blue appear on the pew. Right? The window can't do that by itself. It needs that light. So this is saying the same thing, that this ego sense, this strong, dense feeling that I can see now, that feels like Regina, feels like a very definite person, that's just an appearance. And what makes that appear is the light of truth, the light of truth. And so instead of looking at the ego sense, when the ego sense becomes obvious, I can turn my attention to that which makes it appear, or that which enlivens it. One wonderful word for this is life force. Another word for this is I am. Right? I can turn my attention to that instead. That would be like noticing, even though you see the blue, the green, and I forget what other color I said, the pink, the blue, the green, and the pink on the pew, even though you see that, it would be really contemplating, really noticing that it's actually the light that is making the color appear. Let me read this to you again. Ideas of imagination are not true. My conscious awareness itself shines through this sense, I am this person. It seems to enliven the idea, I am this person, as it passes through. But if one looks carefully at what passes through, at what appears to enliven an idea, one will see reality is not blocked by an apparent dense form. Reality is always present. Let me show this to you in another way. This this is a realization I had around a year ago, I think. You know, this moment seems real. You know, this moment right here where I'm sitting here in front of my computer, I can hear my dog snoring. There's a 7 Steps book open. There's a pen here. There's a glass of water nearby. You know, the light from my lamp is on. This moment seems real. But earlier today, I was walking my dog by the river. That moment is in memory, and I can reflect back on it, and I can remember that I was walking my dog by the river, but that moment right now doesn't have the same sense of reality that sitting here in front of my computer talking to you does. David says it's a realization I had right before Santa Barbara. He remembers. I knew it was around a year ago, a little less than a year. Oh, right after Choose Again. Okay, so somewhere around this time then. Yeah, between the two. So what that means is this moment has a stronger sense of reality than my remembered moment, I'll call it. Yet when I was walking the dog by the river, that had a really strong sense of reality. If I pay close attention, what I'm going to notice is that this moment has a strong sense of reality, but even a moment ago, you know, like a moment ago, I was laughing with David, you know, did it happen? It's, you know, it happened after Choose Again and before Santa Barbara. That was just a moment ago. And already the memory of that does not have the same sense of reality as this moment with these words coming out of my mouth now and my hand gesturing in the way it's gesturing now. Why does the past that's 30, 40 seconds ago not have that same strong sense of reality that this moment has? And the answer to that is because the light, the life, the awareness, that which I am is here now. It's not in the past. It's always in the present. And it's just like the shining of the sun through the stained glass window. It enlivens this moment with its own reality so that this moment, you know, this moment that is here right this second seems real. The second it's a memory, it doesn't have that reality anymore because the light doesn't shine in the memory in the past. The light only shines now. But that light that shines to make this moment right here seem real, it's that I want to focus on. I want to learn to turn my attention to that. Again, rather than looking at the pink and the green and the blue light on the pew, I want to really reflect on the sun that is making the light appear on the pew. Let me go ahead and read 658B again from the top. Imagination says this sense, I am this person, is dense and impenetrable. Yet that is imagination. Ideas of imagination are not true. My conscious awareness itself shines through this sense, I am this person. It seems to enliven the idea, I am this person, as it passes through. But if one looks carefully at what passes through, at what appears to enliven an idea, one will see reality is not blocked by an apparent dense form. If reality was actually blocked by the I am Regina idea, this moment would not have a sense of reality to it. The sun wouldn't be here shining, just like the colors couldn't show up on the pew. So it's not actually blocked. It's just that our attention isn't on it. That's different. Which means that since it is here, we can learn to turn our attention to it. Right? And that's what awareness, watching awareness, is all about. 658B continues. Reality shines through. Reality is present. Reality is untouched. Reality is pure. So it's a matter of learning that sense. I'm going to call that another sense. It's a matter of learning that sense of how to pay attention to what can't be seen and yet is here and enlivens everything else and makes everything else appear. It's learning to turn our attention to that. I'm going to scroll down and click on 658C. And now that I've shared a little bit, I'm going to go ahead and read again from the quote that we are contemplating. Ooh, 658C is long. Let me read our quote, 658. When the limited and conditioned feeling, I am so-and-so, ceases, there arises consciousness of the all-pervading infinite. Hence, you too abandon the false and fanciful notion of the ego sense within your own heart. When this ego sense is dispelled, the supreme light of true self-knowledge will surely shine in your heart. The ego sense alone is the densest form of darkness. When it is dispelled, the inner light shines by itself. All right, let's look at 658C. Why is ego not let go? Why do we spend years on the spiritual path, recognizing and loving spiritual concepts, yet continuing with ego, the sense of self, still intact? Answer, because we love ourself. This answer may be hard to accept intellectually, especially if we believe we hate ourself or we believe we are detached from self. But if we believe we hate ourself or we believe we are detached from self, where is that believing occurring? Isn't belief in thought? Aren't we listening to thoughts that say, I hate myself, or I am detached from this personality? How does one honestly assess if one holds on to self because one loves the false sense of self? Ask and answer this one question. How much time do I spend in a day listening to, paying attention to, engrossed in my thoughts? We listen to our thoughts because they interest us. This interest is a symptom of our love for self, our love for a sense of self. Disinterest, including time and effort spent turning away from thought, is an accurate indication that the love of self is weakening and true interest in awakening is dawning. So I mentioned earlier that I used to not like Regina, right? And I said that you could tell I did not like Regina because of that strong, strong sense of unworthiness. She wasn't good enough. I mean, whose judgment was that? Whose judgment was that, that she wasn't good enough, that she wasn't as good as anyone else? Wasn't that judgment right here in the personality of Regina? So you have to say that Regina did not like Regina, because she judged Regina so harshly as not being, as literally being the lowest scum on the planet. But what this is saying is, even when I didn't like Regina, I loved Regina. And how do I know that I loved her? Because I listened to her every thought. I even listened to her thought, I'm not good enough. I don't have any talents. In any moment, they're all going to find me out. I'm not as good as the others. They don't know it, but they will soon discover it. If I don't make this project work, they're going to figure it out. I have to meet this deadline. I have to do another successful project. I have to make myself look good because otherwise they're going to find out. I was listening to all of that, which means I had great interest in all of that, which meant even though I appeared to hate Regina, I loved Regina. And to this day, There is way too much engagement in this thought, in the thoughts that happen. Way too much engagement. Now, what, of course, also happens is there's a constant breaking of that engagement. You know, I notice I'm caught up in the thought. I realize I don't want to be caught up in the thought. And I let go. I turn my attention away. That practice is happening constantly. So I am breaking the habit of loving Regina. And that doesn't mean I'll dislike her. I just mean being attached to the idea that this is who I am. I'm in the process of breaking that habit by continually turning my attention away from the thought, so I notice the tension has gone there again. This is not judgmental. When I say I'm breaking the habit of loving Regina, I don't mean that in a judgmental way. It's not about going back to not liking her. Liking her is wonderful. Liking everyone is wonderful. To like whatever is placed in front of me, that type of love, is wonderful. To love this moment exactly as it is wonderful. To love you exactly as you are is wonderful. But when I'm talking about breaking the habit of loving Regina, I'm talking about something different. I'm talking about loving Regina as who I am. And again, you can love yourself as who you are, even if you think you hate yourself. The way to tell if you're loving yourself as who you are is by how much time do you spend listening, believing your thoughts. And as you begin to make effort to turn attention away from your thoughts, then you are beginning to break the habit of loving the self as who you are. And if you find that you are spending literally hours per day in awareness, watching awareness meditation, just wanting to be immersed in true self, then that love of self is definitely fading. So let me read 658C again. Why is ego not let go? Why do we spend years on the spiritual path recognizing and loving spiritual concepts, yet continuing with ego, the sense of self, still intact? Answer: because we love ourself. And that, of course, means the ego's sense of self. This answer may be hard to accept intellectually, especially if we believe we hate ourselves or we believe we are detached from self. But if we believe we hate ourselves or we believe we are detached from self, where is that believing occurring? Isn't belief in thought? Aren't we listening to thoughts that say, I hate myself? Or I am detached from the personality? How does one honestly assess if one holds on to self because one loves the false sense of self? Ask and answer this one question. How much time do I spend in a day listening to, paying attention to, engrossed in my thoughts? We listen to our thoughts because they interest us. This interest is a symptom of our love for self, our love for a sense of self. Disinterest, including time and effort spent turning attention away from thought, is an accurate indication that the love of self is weakening and true interest in awakening is dawning. So again, how often, when you notice you're lost in thought, how often do you then turn your attention away from thought in whatever way that you do? That is showing where you're letting go of this love for a sense of self. And the more time, the more effort we put into turning attention away from being engrossed in the self, the little self's thoughts, the more we are letting go of that conditioned love of a sense of self. So I'm going to scroll down and click on 658D. Again, we're still looking at the same quote. In fact, it looks like we're only going to make it probably through one quote in this entire hour. When the limited and conditioned feeling, I am so-and-so, ceases, there arises consciousness of the all-pervading infinite. Hence, you too abandon the false and fanciful notion of the ego sense within your own heart. When this ego sense is dispelled, the supreme light of self-knowledge will surely shine in your heart. The ego sense alone is the densest form of darkness. When it is dispelled, the inner light shines by itself. So again, one of the sentences we just read said that when the limited and conditioned feeling, I am so-and-so, ceases, right, the consciousness of the all-pervading infinite will arise. And then it says that we will, at that point, abandon the false and fanciful notion of the ego sense within our own heart. What that means, if we are going to abandon it in our heart, that means right now we still love it in our heart, right? And as we just saw in 658C, the way to begin letting go of that, I'm going to call it conditioned love. It's not true love. The way to let go of that conditioned love is whenever we notice that we are engrossed in our thoughts again, to gently turn our attention away. That's breaking the habit of this conditioned love. Also, this quote, 658, tells us that when we have done that, when this ego sense is dispelled, the supreme light of true self-knowledge will surely shine in your heart. That's like saying if you take the stained glass out of the window, you'll clearly see that the light is the sun, right? So letting go of the ego sense is the same as taking the stained glass out of the window. Then there's no more appearance. There's just the shining of the truth. Or as this quote says, the inner light shines by itself. So let's look at 658D. Without a sense of self, true self shines clear and unobstructed. That's the example I just gave. It's like taking the stained glass out of the window and there's the sun. It couldn't be more obvious, right? Without a sense of self, true self shines clear and unobstructed. Only the imagined sense of self blocks awareness of present real self. And again, as we said, it's not a true block. It's not like we put wood in the window and the sun can't get in at all, right? It's not a true block. The personality is more like the stained glass. And it appears as colored light. But why does it appear as colored light? Because that true light is still there, right? The true light is still there. It's always present. So it's not truly, truly blocked. But because our attention is on the colors, we don't notice the sun. We don't contemplate the sun. We're focused on how pretty the pink and the blue and the green is, right? Without a sense of self, true self shines clear and unobstructed. Only the imagined sense of self blocks awareness of present real self. Only interest in thought keeps imagination enlivened as the sense of an existing self. So again, only interest in thought. So, you know, we could say interest in thought is our only problem. The only thing I need to do is lose interest in the thoughts that I see in this mind. Just lose interest in them. And it's funny because that's kind of how A Course in Miracles workbook begins, is showing us that our thoughts are meaningless, right? Leading us to let go of the interest we have in our thoughts. Let me read 658D again. without a sense of self, true self shines clear and unobstructed. Only the imagined sense of self blocks awareness of present real self. Only interest in thought keeps imagination enlivened as the sense of an existing self. All right, so let's scroll down and look at 658E. This should be the last journal entry regarding this quote, 658. And let me read the quote itself one more time, because that's really what we're focused on, is the quote. The quote comes from the master. When the limited and conditioned feeling, I am so-and-so, ceases, there arises consciousness of the all-pervading infinite. Hence, you too abandon the false and fanciful notion of the ego sense within your own heart. When this ego sense is dispelled, the supreme light of self-knowledge will surely shine in your heart. This ego sense alone is the densest form of darkness. When it is dispelled, the inner light shines by itself. I think that's pretty wonderful too, actually. It just occurred to me. I just felt joy in my heart. And I felt joy in my heart because this sentence says, the ego sense alone is the densest form of darkness. But as we've seen, it's not like a block of wood. It's more like a stained glass window. That really means nothing can truly block the light, right? Because the light shines right through a stained glass window. That means nothing can truly block the light. We can only be distracted from the light, you know, because we're paying too much attention to the appearance of the colors. But isn't that good news that there cannot be a block of wood in the window? There can't, I mean, if the ego sense alone is the densest form of darkness, if that is the densest form of darkness, that means that nothing can truly block the light, not really, which means it's always available for us to turn our attention to and begin to notice. It's always available for us to begin paying attention to. That's good news, don't you think? I think so. Made me happy. So the ego sense alone is the densest form of darkness. When it is dispelled, the inner light shines by itself. All right, let's look at 658E. In all the world, oh, here we go. In all the world, there is no appearance that blocks the light more than the sense, I am this person. The suffering that is pictured in the world does not block the light more. Unfairness, injustice, and cruelty do not block the light more. Without the sense I am this person, all things are seen differently. Therefore, the one idea to overcome, transcended, let go, seen through, is the idea I am this person. And again, we've already seen that means lose interest in thoughts. As the Course says, one problem, one solution. And you know what else? I feel that's something we can all do. In fact, it's okay if we want to continue reading, you know, lots of books. But I don't feel like we have to read lots of books. I feel like we can say, okay, I get it. I need to lose interest in this thinking. Instead of paying attention to this thinking, I need to pay attention to the awareness, to the light, to the life force, the sense of the I am-ness that enlivens everything. I need to pay attention to the light that is shining through the stained glass window instead of paying attention to the color that appears because the light shines through the stained glass window. I don't need to read another book to do that. I might need to make time to do that. You know, time to sit in meditation, in awareness, watching awareness meditation, or the loving consciousness method of meditation, or focusing on the I am like Nisargadatta did, or practicing the inquiry as was described in this morning's Awakening Together gathering, the self-inquiry that Ramana Maharshi taught. I may need focused time to do that because when I'm busy running about in the world, I just get caught up in the appearances again. So I need to set time aside when I'm not distracted by the world, where I can really close my eyes and practice losing interest in thought. Practice turning attention to awareness or I am or isness or whatever helps you to get the sense of the light that shines through the stained glass window. I need to pay attention to that rather than the appearances. And again, the thoughts are just the appearances. Because the thing that blocks the true self is the false sense of self. And the false sense of self is enhanced by my attention to its thoughts. In all the world, there is no appearance that blocks the light more than this sense, I am this person. The suffering that is pictured in the world does not block the light more. Unfairness, injustice, and cruelty do not block the light more. Without the sense, I am this person, all things are seen differently. Therefore, the one idea to be overcome, transcended, let go, seen through, is the idea, I am this person. So see, we don't have to solve the world's problems. We just have to let go of being interested in what we call our thoughts. All right, that's it, everybody. Have a wonderful evening. I'll be back at 10 p.m. Eastern Time for the Daily Quote.